Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, friends. My name is Mike Berry. I attend Grace Bible Church in Warren, Michigan. You know, it has always amazed me of how many people take salvation, if there was to be a God, if there was to be a heaven or a hell, that many people look at salvation as something that you can earn, something that you can gain by some effort that you would perform. And you see, my background, I came from the streets. An ex-convict, junkie, fry brain, and what some people would call a scumball and a loser. And, you know, for a guy like me, thinking that heaven, if there is a place, would require me to go and apologize to all kinds of people that I'd messed over the years. And the balancing scales, right and wrong, could I ever do enough to apologize or to make right all that I'd done wrong? And that somehow that if there was this God that He would grant me access into heaven? Well, you see, about 18 years ago, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing that transformed my life from the inside out was an incredible verse. And it goes like this. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And verse 7. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And that "us" meant me. And when I realized that there are people in life that you see that are incredible model citizens, their wives are volunteers and they help out through all kinds of community affairs. He's a volunteer fireman. He's educated. He sent his children to college. And they become doctors and lawyers, people of respectability. When I realized that that verse is saying, to me, it was like saying, somebody comes along and drags him out of the house, and they're going to put him to death. And somebody like me, who was from the streets and lived what people would consider terrible lifestyle, this guy ain't even worth living. And somebody like me would step forward and say, you know, he's a good man. He's been kind and generous to people. Me, I'm nothing. Spent most of my life in playing the game. I'll die for him. And then, verse 8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That was telling me that Jesus Christ, when they pulled me out of the house to kill me, he stepped forward and said, I will die for him. I will die for him. When I realized that God's love was so unconditional, it required me to do nothing. It didn't require me to stop smoking, stop drinking, stop doing all kinds of things that even the world would consider is wrong, let alone if there was a God. And to think that I didn't have to stop all of these things that I was doing for him to suffer at the hands of his own creation for a guy like me. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for the ungodly and for me, Mike Berry. I didn't have to go to church, didn't have to push the peanut to the altar, didn't have to jump in a tank of water, give my $29.95. God required me to do nothing but place my faith, the belief that his shedding of his blood on the cross is all that was required for me to say, thank you. Thank you for dying for me. That changed my life to realize that God revealed his incredible love and required nothing on my part, but to rest in what he did for me. In Romans 4:5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Not by works. We live in America, and most of us, or most people that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, as I was mentioning from the beginning, would look at if there is a God. That, you know, I haven't been that bad. You know, I'm 35 years old. I spent maybe a few years kind of partying too hard. Last 10 or 15 years, been pretty good. I've been working all the time, taking care of my wife and my kids, going to church. I'm pretty sure that God would, if there is a God, would let me to heaven. I'm not like this guy was. I'm not bad like the bank robber. But you know, Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, of the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. You cannot put yourself in a position of declaring to God that your performance and your actions should allow you into His presence. Who am I to say that I've been good enough? You know, it is the most exciting thing that ever took place in my life is to realize that God loves me in spite of my ugly self. And when you rest in what Jesus Christ has done, just rest and say thank you for what Christ has done for you, you truly can begin to experience true salvation. Yes, true salvation. Apart from your works, apart from your efforts, apart from what your mother and father have done faithfully, even if you've been attending church, even a fundamental Bible church, your mother and father's faith cannot save you. Your efforts cannot. Otherwise, you see, Jesus Christ died in total vainness. If it was going to be by our works and our efforts, why did He have to come and die on the cross? Because you see, going back to Romans 5, verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And we know there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There is none righteous. That doesn't mean that there's a few people that have been so good and right. Religious leaders throughout history, their righteousness cannot lay weight before God to allow them into eternity, into the presence of God. It cannot be. It is solely and only dependent upon what Jesus Christ has done. Let's go to Romans 8. Romans 8:35. You know, there are many who advocate that, what do you mean? You're not supposed to be good? You see, our goodness after salvation is for good works, and it honors the Lord, and for reward benefits. You cannot earn your way to heaven by your righteousness, by you puffing your chest out. And many would say, well, it doesn't make sense. That means you're telling me that somebody could be a crummy guy. And you're telling me that he shouldn't be upright? Shouldn't do things good? Yes. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are kind, think on these things. And also our actions are very important. After we, by faith, the act of believing what Jesus Christ has done for us, what takes place after that, it's not that you see, you got to get it in the right order. You rest in what Jesus Christ has done for you. Then your works. Not your works first.
And then you go to before the Lord and say,
hey, I got myself together, I'm ready. You can bless me now, you can honor me, you can bring me into heaven. No. It's the other way around. And once you're in Jesus Christ, I have forgiven you of your sins as far as the east is from the west. Never to recall them, ever. And in Romans 8:35, it talks about, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. It cannot be separated. Because it's what depended upon what Jesus Christ did, not what I have done or you. It's an incredible freedom. Scripture tells us you shall have peace that shall pass all understanding. It's amazed me how the Apostle Paul could be stoned, he could be naked at times, hungry, alone. But yet he was motivated to share the gospel concerning Jesus Christ at any cost. He was motivated because he knew that his love, the love of Christ, was not dependent upon Paul's performance and what Paul was doing. And therefore, his motivation for Paul was, he was motivated correctly. Because he knew that the love loved him in spite of himself. That's grace. Unconditional love. When you think that you have to perform, that you have to do something to merit God's favor and his love and his kindness, or to even keep it, you become, at times in your life, totally discouraged then. Well, I've been good for years. Now I messed up and I know that I just can't keep doing it. So therefore, I might as well just live whatever life I want because I'm not going to heaven now. The beauty of understanding the grace of God is it expresses such an incredible depth of love, and your motivation then for doing what's right is because he loves you. Not because based on your performance. Let's go to Ephesians. Maybe I should get there first. Ephesians 2:8-10. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Listen to what I'm saying. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, that's the act of you believing the Word of God and what Christ has done for you. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, after your faithful decision as Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Remember, keep works prior to salvation out of the way. Faith in Jesus Christ, the act of you believing,
is what saves you of what Christ did.
Ephesians 1:13.
In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
That is incredible.
In whom also after you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the good news concerning your salvation, that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross while you are yet a sinner, whether you are a righteous sinner or a scumball sinner, a bank robber, a rapist, a murderer, or a self-righteous, pompous man thinking that his own efforts and his own conduct will allow him to stand before God and say, I did it. Let me in. It's not happening, and it doesn't happen that way.
Romans chapter 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings, good things. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing is by the word of God. Listen to that verse. So then, faith. People often wonder where faith comes from. You have two choices in everything you see or hear. You believe it or you do not. When you take God at His word, that He has said, I shed my blood on the cross for your sins. And if you will take me at my word, then I shall give you a gift of eternal life. And he says also that I shall give you, as he told Thomas, after he rose from the dead and he appeared unto the apostles, and Thomas wasn't there, and then 8 days later he appeared unto the apostles. And he said to Thomas, Thomas, you believe because you have seen, but blessed are those that believe yet have not seen. Do you know what the word blessedness means? Joyful. Joyful.
You want to be happy?
You want to be able to endure sickness and sorrow, loneliness, rejection, pain? When you truly know the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in what He has done, and you rest in that, there is a blessedness that accompanies your life that is compared to nothing. Compared to nothing. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing is by the word of God. We are not asked by God. Some people accuse us of believing in God and that we will follow and blindly. It says here, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing is by the word of God. As we study and as we read it, as we ask questions and we ponder the word of God, we make a decision, and we make a decision, and we act upon that decision of the word that we're reading. That is faith. It's taking God at His word. Without faith, it is impossible to please God the Father. Without faith. It's no different than if I ask you to meet me tomorrow morning for breakfast at 10 o'clock. You must believe me by faith. But breakfast is nothing compared to eternity, my friends. Eternity is a long, long time. A long time. You see, it is appointed unto man once to die. Then comes the judgment. There is no second or third time around, coming back as a grasshopper or some famous singer. One shot. In this day, you have heard the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. Therefore, you are without excuse. Without excuse. And if you pass up the opportunity, do you think yesterday when the plane crashed that those people bought a one-way ticket? Those people that died in plane crashes all around the world and car accidents, people that died yesterday and today, they weren't planning it. My friends, don't waste the opportunity. Thank you. And may the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word be a mighty strong conviction. Thank you.
Thank you for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we hope this program has been enlightening to you. Our desire is to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 810-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 810-778-5032. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this same time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe.